Hi, it's Rallo, your vet fan. You're about to listen to an episode of our podcast. Neat! Did you know you can financially support the Guild via both Anchor Support and Patreon? That's right, you can help us do more cool stuff like this episode you're about to listen to. To support us on Anchor, go to anchor.fm/calamitouspodcast/support or go to patreon.com/guildpodcast. Thank you so much for listening and enjoy the episode.
Incoming Guild transmission. Toad, November, Echo, Whiskey, Yankee, Oscar, Romeo, Gilo. Welcome to the Guild of Calamitous podcast.
Hello. I'm Rylo, I'm your vet fan.
I'm Garden, I'm your baby fan.
And this is Guild of Calamitous Podcast, an unofficial Venture Brothers rewatch podcast. This is the first time we're actually recording in like 3 months. Like
it's been a hot minute. We have been busy.
We had a busy summer. We've done some specials, but this is the first time we've actually sat down in our normal recording format.
I've been able to like come up and we've been able to record together.
And then we did the special.
And we did the special at Dragon Con.
Yeah.
Which was exhausting.
Yeah. Dragon Con exhausts everyone.
This is now finally the second Tuesday. Tuesday. It's a Tuesday. The second Tuesday that I have been in my house in a row in over a month and a half.
And so we are finally able to record in our normal settings.
I've been doing a lot of conventions, guys. I'm very tired.
Oh, so tired.
So tired. But we also got the chance to watch...
We binged it.
We binged season six.
Yeah. Well, together. It's Unpoco. It's Unpoco.
It is small, yes.
Like season five before it, it is only 8 episodes. So it's not that hard to do. You set 4 hours aside and there you go.
But we got to do it together, which is like...
We did.
We rarely
get to watch these episodes together. I think the last one we watched together, we watched Prom together with your parents.
Yes.
I think that was the last one we watched. And the Shallow Grave special.
Yes.
I think that was the last one. But we got to watch...
It's been a hot second.
So we got to watch Gargantua 2 and... all of this together, and that was special.
It was very special. I appreciated it.
Yeah, I don't know if that'll happen again the rest of the series though. So
yeah, probably not.
Womp womp. Well, maybe when the movie comes out.
That's helpful.
Maybe when the movie comes out,
we will see what 4 years.
In like 4 years, you know.
Yeah. In time.
I'm not rushing them. But the big thing about this season is, first of all, we're getting onto the last 18 episodes here of the series overall.
It's terrifying.
Thus far. It's taken us a year and a half to get here. The next 18 episodes are completely different beasts than the... monsters we dealt with before.
It really is.
They have different feels. They went for a different sort of story writing structure that they were starting to do in season five, where we're dealing with more just overarching season long arcs, which I love it. I love it. I got back into South Park hardcore when they started doing that. When you can carry an arc over multiple episodes.
I remember this.
Yeah. When it starts getting, when it's able to really dig into its own bullshit. Not that the Ventures haven't dug into their own bullshit before. I guess one last thing before I get into our episode info. If you haven't listened to it already, I was a guest on Go Team Venture podcast.
it was Justin had me on and we talked about one of my favorite episodes from season four, which is like the whole season, let's be real. I said that about every episode of season four. Diamond Bell versus the Butter Glider. So
were you in fact butter gliding?
Let's make love, butter glider. We'll find a way to grind. No, I didn't sing, unfortunately. I should have.
Yeah.
I should have just sung it. He's like, we're not going to do all the lyrics. And I'm like, but I can sing it. I do such a good monarch. At least I think I do in my head. So yeah, if you haven't listened to that, go listen to it and go follow Go Team Venture podcast. It's similar to ours, but not. So you get two different experiences. It's great.
We love them.
We love them. And now to dig into this episode titled Hostile Makeover, written by Jackson Publick, directed by Jackson Publick, with an original air date of January 31st, 2016. We're getting closer and closer to real time, guys.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Modern day. Episode number is 64. Like a Nintendo.
Nice. I know that's not nice.
We're absolute nice. In 5 episodes time, we're absolutely gonna just keep saying nice. Nice. So just nice.
Get used to it.
Get yourself psyched up for it. Our cast of characters and voice casts are as follows: James Urbaniak as Dr. Venture and Phantom Limb and Jonas Venture Jr. Patrick Warburton as Brock Sampson. Michael Center Nicholas as Dean Venture. Chris McCulloch, I can talk. Chris McCulloch as Hank Venture, the Monarch, Sergeant Hatred, Pirate Captain, Colonel Hunter Gathers, Dragoon, Dr. Z, Radical Left, Sovereign Head, Watch, Barnacle Badool, and Stormfront. Back to the name all of these villains.
It's so impressive.
Doc Hammer as Dr. Mrs. the Monarch, Henchman 21, Red Mantle, and Ward. Joining the cast, Hal Lublin as Wide Whale and Manolo, and Mark Gagliardi as Stars and Garters / Tosh Tompkins and Enzo, which also, I'm going to plug their podcast. We Got This. They do a really good podcast. Go listen to it. It's funny. They give the deciding answer on anything.
it's
really good, and they've had Doc and Jackson on the deciding answer on any topic, like what's the best Star Trek movie, stuff like that. It's really great.
I have questions.
just know it's a great podcast, and it's made by Maximum Fun, who also do all of the McElroy stuff,
who we were also binging in Dragon Con,
so yeah. Get back to the cast. Kate McKinnon returns, this time as Wariana and .com. Larry Murphy also returns as Fallen Archer. James Adomain comes back as Phineas Phage, Night Dick, and Lawyer. And Nathan Fillion makes his triumphant return as Brown Widow / Jared.
Yay, Jared!
Yeah, you really thought you saw the last of Brown Widow.
Oh, hell no.
Never. So boom, big reset. Venture lore is completely thrown out of the window. That's 15 years worth of background that doesn't matter anymore.
Gone. Garbage.
Goes to the garbage. We're done with that. That's old Venture. This is new Venture.
This whole base thing? No. Compound? No.
No. No more compound. No more compound. We're all about big buildings. No more poor, no more compound. We're all done. Old Venture, gone. New Venture, that's now. So yeah, the rest of the series takes place in New York and its surrounding areas. So Newark, they go to Brooklyn, which I guess is just, that's just another.
Part of New York.
In New York, the point of differentiating them. So basically, yeah, they stay around the New York City, Jersey.
Metropolitan area.
Area, yeah. Also, J.G. Thirlwell did the Rusty's Back song.
I loved it so much.
And it's so good. It's so good. If we get a volume 3 of the soundtrack, which I really hope, because there's some good fucking music in these last
few. You want seasons. Rusty's Back?
I want Rusty's Back.
That would be like anthem.
I want Rusty's Back.
You'd wake up to it. You'd get ready to it. You'd like roll down
Rusty's
down the street on a scooter.
Yes. Yes, that's me. That's new Rilo.
It's new Rilo?
Uh-huh. New Rilo. Only listens to Rusty's Back. Only listens to Rusty's Back and rides a scooter.
Only listens to Rusty's Back and Bo Burnham.
And Bo Burnham and rides a scooter.
Yeah.
I'm edgy.
New Rilo.
New Rilo. But yeah, welcome to the new venture pad. It is was, I believe, at one point Impossible Plaza. So we've been there before.
Yep.
Been there before, done that. It's been remodeled. It is now home to Ventech, which was the other side of Venture Industries
that JJ's baby.
That JJ got. And we get to see everyone sort of checking out their new digs. It's a lot of the season is getting everyone to New York and getting everyone settled in New York.
Which I appreciated. Like, it actually gave them some time.
It does. It does. So, like, it seems like nothing's happened, but a lot is happening. Because when you toss lore out a window and decide we're not going to touch that. You've got to
rewrite a whole bunch of it.
You got to get everyone in the same spot again, which is something we'll deal with next week with, like, I mean, they got to get Pete and Billy into the New York, and later on they got to get Orpheus there somehow. So, you know, it's all this bigger plan to get everyone in one spot so they can really dig in.
See,
and I think that's probably the most unfortunate part of there not being a season 8, is that they finally got everyone sort of settled.
And then
nothing.
However, let's talk about the digs.
The digs, the new digs. Dean got Rocket's room,
which is adorable.
Which is, he's a very smart baby. It looks like a grown ass man's room. Which it's, we all it's knew.
A cute room though.
It's a very nice room. Like, I would, it kind of reminds me of my room with the shelving setup that it has around the bed.
But far less stuffed animals.
Far less stuffed animals and action figures, and Legos and very
much more science.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Hank got Ned's room.
Ned's room, which looks much more like what you would expect Rocket's room to look like. That of a small child.
I appreciate it.
I've always appreciated how Hank ends up with that, with like
I also love the rainbows that.
And the he picks that.
Oh no, I know, and I love that for him. I mean, he knows how much those rooms fit with them.
Yeah, exactly. New Ventech. You know what also that means?
Rusty's in charge. You're all furloughed.
You're all furloughed.
No, wait, that was COVID.
That was one of the memes, one of the first venture but COVID memes that
you were asking me to do.
Mm-hmm. Before you'd even seen the show.
No, I had no idea. So I saw the "you're all fired" bit, and I'm like, I edited that.
You're all fired. He fires everyone. The whole board.
Everyone.
You're all fired. He is poised to run this straight into the ground, just like he did Venture Industries.
No, I would say this would be almost a more...
It's because it's publicly traded that it's worse.
It would just be such a downfall.
It really
think
is.
Like if Apple tanked suddenly.
If Apple finally like went back to like where it was before they came out with the iMac, like the fancy, like y'all know what iMacs I'm talking about. We're talking about like school computer lab iMacs.
The blue ones.
The blue ones, the orange ones, the I always tried to get the teal one.
I very, very, very much considered buying one of those because there was one online. It was purple, came with the mouse and the keyboard, $200.
See, I would have gotten it just so I could use old applications because you can't.
Well, see, I have that.
Other end.
I have
applications
that.
On the new one, on the new operating system.
I know, but
oh, you're more.
I know what that. I'm doing. Yeah. I also have my old power tower, so.
Yeah. So you could still use, like, because I got in with an Apple computer. I went from having an Apple computer from the early 90s to having a MacBook Pro late 2011 or early 2011. MacBook Pro. So, big jump.
Big jump.
I have Apple versions of like the Sims, the original Sims with all of the expansions and Fable, and I can't play them on my MacBook, but
and thus nevertheless, the sound of the world's smallest violin.
Listen, I got that at Goodwill, and it was a good fucking deal. It's like all of the original Sims. Like, I didn't even have those growing up.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Sims 1. Hell yeah.
But yeah, but imagine if Apple suddenly, like, about turned and nosedived into the ground in the stock market.
I honestly think that would drive my father too. Two extremes, so I don't like to think about it.
No, but like
as a Apple investor, I think he would literally he'd shout my baby and then just die.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the because
that would
that's
be the equivalent.
Well, that's the equivalent Ventech is in general, and I get to that later. It's the venture versus equivalent of Apple.
Absolutely.
Is what Ventech is. And that's been made clear.
Very.
But yeah, so Doc's whole thing is he's going to be obnoxious while driving the company into the ground. At their first morning in their new digs, starts the beginning of probably the quietest but best subplot ever.
Yes.
It is like a Z plot. It is like so off the radar.
It's not even a Z plot at this point. It is a happenstance. It's an occurrence, but it is a notable occurrence.
Helper and Helper's feud with J-Bot.
Screw J-Bot.
Screw J-Bot. J-Bot is Jonas's answer to... J-Bot looks more like one of those like... actual robots that they have.
Oh, like the hotel ones that have faces.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't like that. But like the
you've
like,
never seen that before.
I know the one that has the face.
No, there are several.
I know the girl one that has the
yes.
face.
But there are AIs who run hotels.
I'm not a fan of that. Like that's I've seen that episode of Doctor Who and it didn't end well and it did involve emojis. Like I'm fine without that.
You're good. You're good without machines attaining sentience.
No, I've seen that episode of Doctor Who and
I've played enough Mass Effect. However, I would like Edie.
We can
get there.
Mm-hmm. But J-Bot is clearly, though, superior to Helper in every way. You're sentimental about Helper. I'm sentimental about Helper.
Oh no, we love Helper.
But on a functionality level.
Oh, on a functionality level, yes, the J-Bot is superior.
Like miles ahead.
However, with Helper, you get something more than functionality. You get loyalty.
And you get loyalty and personality.
And a truly
J-Bots don't have.
And history. You get history with Helper.
You do. He took a hot shit. He grew legs to take a hot shit on the floor. I'll never forget that. That exact line came up in a discussion about the show recently. That's the only reason I said it like that. It's like, I can't believe Helper grew legs to take a hot shit on the floor.
I mean, it makes sense.
But we see what the boys' future prospects are. This is the first time them sort of being in the real, real world.
Not just that, but in the real world with cash.
With cash, with money.
With the ability to provide for themselves.
With daddy's pocketbook.
With daddy's pocketbook, yes.
Hank dressed in his very Bieber-esque outfit. Which, get used to it. That's the rest of the episode. He's in these awful
Very Bieber.
Justin Bieber outfits.
I love it, though, for him.
He finds a season-long outfit at the end. But
He is becoming a millionaire playboy, millionaire playboy.
That's his the carefree lifestyle of a millionaire playboy. Meanwhile, Trust fund baby. Meanwhile, Dean is making plans to go check out Stuyvesant University, which in my head, and I'm sure that's sort of the equivalent. So I'm not, this is not like 100%. I'm just looking at it like this makes sense as an equivalent exchange. The bench versus equivalent of Rutgers University, which is it's in New Jersey, but it's in the metropolitan.
That's over a bridge. You know,
it's in the metropolitan New York greater area. And they were both named after philanthropists, Peter Stuyvesant, who's an actual New York philanthropist, and Henry Rutgers, who's also a New York philanthropist. And also, Rutgers is where Jackson attended school.
So that makes sense.
And released his first comics. So
that makes sense.
Equivalent exchange. And we talked about how Ventech is the Ventureverse equivalent of Apple, which makes the J phone the equivalent of the iPhone and means Siri.
Is now JJ.
It's JJ's voice. That is some that is just
uncanny. It is
like
disturbing.
I like that, like Siri, who, by the way, I am so sorry right now for anyone who has who's listening to this aloud.
At least we're not saying the other one. Cortana.
Yeah, Cortana.
Yeah, Cortana.
Oh my god, that actually activated the Cortana on my computer. Go away. Go away.
No my evil plan you. Has worked.
No one wants you. No one ever says your name. It's like Beetlejuice. That's an ongoing thing. And that's, we saw that last season too, because they were using J-Phone to navigate GPS. GBS to navigate to By Golly Gulch. The head. But now it's creepy because he's dead. Like, if he wasn't dead, it wouldn't be as creepy.
It's very unsettling.
Now that he's dead, it's like, too soon.
It's been like a week.
Yeah.
It has not been long.
And we're also introduced to the local superhero talent in the form of pretty much the Avengers. Otherwise known as Cal. And they include Falling Archer, who's weapons are arrows with foots.
Yeah. That one's a little painful.
Stars and Garters, who is your typical
macho,
ultra machismo,
super patriot
man, white man.
Behold, I am America.
Behold, I am America. I am white. Look at my pendulous penis. Like that sort of. That sort of vibe. And Warriana, who is our Wonder femdom. Woman type. What?
She is a femdom Amazon, and I live for it.
She is a femdom Amazon, and we stan. And
she is not about to take anyone's bullshit.
And they're a part of this big racket that involves a villain that we meet later in this episode to basically have subscription services. The fourth member, by the way, I forgot to mention, he's only kind of a member, I think. Night Dick.
God damn it.
You good?
He's a private investigator, so I mean, it makes sense, but...
Night Dick. Like, he has a tragic backstory, but it's the worst fucking name.
I can't...
But they're a part of this racket that we sort of see more of a mafia, you scratch my back, I scratch yours sort of deal.
Pay us protection money, and we won't screw with you.
So it's this, it's a mafia racket. It's a mafia racket. Scratch my back, I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine.
We all make money, everyone's happy.
We all make money, everyone's happy. You got to pay the protection up front, which is part of the issue the guild has later on with New York and its villains and heroes.
Speaking of the guild.
Good guys and bad guys. Speaking of guild, by the way, the Monarchs are renovating their house still. I promise by the end of season 7.
It takes time to renovate a house.
It's done. It's done, but it's like...
It takes time.
It's pretty much a time lapse of watching this house get remodeled, and Monarch's not too pleased to be watching his arch nemesis
flourish
in such a way as to.
Well, you know, he's trying to remodel his busted out house.
His busted out childhood home that is no doubt costing a fortune.
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding? The amount, all that wiring totally got stripped. So yeah. There's no electricity.
Oh, and later on they talk about plumbing issues. It's
it's a nightmare.
It's awful.
Not to mention you probably have like wildlife damage, water damage, dry rot, like the whole thing. It's a mess.
And the new council is facing their first issues. How to govern themselves without a sovereign.
Because Bowie's gone.
Because Bowie's gone both at this point in the Ventureverse, but also by the time this aired, it had been about 14 days since he died.
I miss Bowie.
We all miss Bowie. R.I.P. I'd pour one out, but I have electrical wires underneath me.
And I have no drink.
Pour out my ginger ale. Which, apparently, the guild wasn't always ruled by a sovereign.
It used to be.
Used to be.
Actually be a council.
The council... all had the same rights, and it was a committee, a proper committee, and not just one talking head.
A talking head and people who went, yes, we shall do your bidding.
And we shall vote.
On nothing.
On our, But our votes should not matter because the sovereign. So that's going to be something they deal with the rest of the show. Is they finally find their footing. They do.
They're working on it. I'm
confident in saying that. Towards the end of season 7, they definitely, the council as we know it has found their footing. But right now it's on shaking grounds, and Watch and Ward are not even allowed to sit at the table, even though they're the only other employees there.
Which is just sad.
Yeah, I think at this point they should really be council members, and I will argue anyone who says otherwise. Like, they get degraded even further in the...
Oh, yeah, no, it's... I respect Watch and Ward.
I do too. They do a lot. I think they're about the only real employees that the guild has.
Especially now.
Especially now. Anyway, Dean gets to Stuyvesant and re-enter Jared, aka Black Widow, who we last saw in our last New York episode.
We dearly remember from his beautiful rendition of I'm Rusty.
I'm so glad that they got Nathan Fillion to come back and do
Black Widow.
Because he becomes a recurring character for the rest of the series.
I love it.
And it's great. It's great. He's a great character. I know some people are on the fence about him. I love him. I don't know. And he clearly is, you know, still getting... We see that while he's attending his university, he's also an RA and giving...
So he's doing a lot tours. Of things.
He's being an upright citizen.
He's very active in student life.
Yeah, go Beavers. Go Stuyvesant Beavers. Which, by the way, I want to say it's this episode that had the Stuyvesant University t-shirt and for shirt club. And if anyone has one in like an extra large, I will buy it. A large or an extra large. I will gladly give you money for it because I desperately want one. Posh, by the way, the one who throws the can at Jared, in case you didn't notice, is Stars and Garters.
They are not only rivals on the streets, but they are rivals on the quad.
On the quad, in the sheets.
No!
Big checks!
Big checks! We love...
Big checks on a big check book!
That was just beautiful.
I mean, Dr. Venture started to see the downside of inheriting all of this. He also inherits all the philanthropy that
and
his brother.
That's not a Doc thing.
And that's not a Doc thing. That has never been a Doc thing.
Doc is not big on the assisting others.
Juniors, little league team. The Sebaceous Cis Society is one of them. And like Pirate Captain could have done it if he wasn't, you know, having to do everything else because Doc fired everyone.
Poor Pirate Captain, man.
Pirate Captain goes through the ringer these first two episodes.
He's not doing too hot.
No,
back on the Trank Monkey.
He's back on the Trank after getting shot by the Monarch, who's outside dressed up as the Statue of Liberty doing reconnaissance on Ventec. And 21 is dressed up as the Naked Cowboy, who we met in Times Square.
Which was amazing.
Never forget.
Never forget.
The guild meeting is probably one of my favorite scenes in this episode. The constituents. All of those have names, by the way. All those villains have, like, majority of them have names. I think the gecko is called Warsaw Gecko.
Really?
Remember correctly.
Really?
Let me go back. Because I have a list of
what
all the ones.
What the fuck?
I'm not saying they're in good taste.
Apparently, that's ash in my mouth.
Okay, the guild members in attendance. We got Auntie Merbert Fog, Curse.com, Dr. Phineas Faze, Dr. Quentin Ball, Flying Squid, Franklin Delano Disco. Love Franklin Delano Disco. Galacticon, Hammerhead Abomination, Hate Bit, Intangible Fancy, Iron Anvil, Joseph and his amazing Technicolor Dream Coat, Omega Ape, Plug Face, Purple Rose, Rick Danger, Scorpio, Stormfront, The Egoist, The Sea Anemone, Tunnel Vision, Unicornelius, Vangloria, Vespertina, and Warsaw Gecko. It is Warsaw Gecko.
That name is ash in my mouth, but I love it.
It's horrible. It's horrible.
That is absolutely terrible.
For people who are unaware why that's terrible,
I'm not in charge of explaining that.
It is a pun on Warsaw Ghetto, the largest of all Jewish ghettos in Nazi-occupied Europe during World War II.
Yeah. Bad pun, guys. I appreciate it, but it is ash in my mouth.
Yeah, they don't specify it in the episode that that's his name.
But
it's
we know.
The commentary.
We know.
Really bad. Those are all the villains in attendance at this meeting. And I love how Purple Rose shouts out and more people of color.
Heck yeah.
Because he's purple.
Yeah.
He's literally a people of color.
There are many colors in the rainbow.
There are many colors in the rainbow. And also, we gotta love.com in her. She kind of has the same super PC voice that was used for the girl in the Palamon project, whose name I don't remember.
Yeah, her.
Yeah, it's the same voice.
That chick.
It's the same voice. Done by Kate McKinnon. I love.com. She comes back. Don't worry. She comes back very briefly. Hank's spending spree kills me. It is all of the stupid shit you wish you could buy as a child.
I would love to take acrobatics lessons.
From the amazing Flippo. He has, I think, if some of like the numerous fucking things and There's a massive Nintendo 64 box.
Yes.
Or knockoff of a Nintendo 64. There's the Dune Buggy. There's Mr. Reachmore.
I love Mr. Reachmore.
I do too. I really do too.
Mr. Ricci needed a friend.
Mr. Ricci does need a friend.
Now he has Mr. Reachmore.
Mr. Reachmore. There's the trapeze artist. Some carnival type games. Just everything.
If you can buy it, Hank bought it.
Hank bought it. He bought out all of the Toys R Us Times Square that was going out of business at the time, I'm sure.
Oh, heck yeah. He went, this is everything that I could not have in my youth, and thus I shall have it now.
Yeah. He basically took the Toys R Us big book and said, and I will buy all of this?
I would like one or at least three of everything.
Yes, of course I also want the Power Wheels. Jesus!
Who doesn't want Power Wheels?
God, I still want a power wheel.
I would like an adult power wheel. I have a car.
That is an adult power wheel. That's a grown-up power wheel. I don't know. I'd still drive like a Barbie Jeep if I
got. You need one. A scooter.
Or scooter. I drive a little scooter. I want a go-kart, actually. You want a go-kart? That's what I want. A go-kart.
That just sounds like an accident waiting to happen.
Doesn't everything with me?
Yeah, because you're friends with me and I am an accident waiting to happen.
So hey, Brock's back as the bodyguard. We really resetting everything.
Everything goes back to normal.
Yeah. I'm gonna have Brock back for the rest, you know, every episode, which is great.
But that means that Vaytrid is now unemployed.
Vaytrid is poor Vaytrid is unemployed. And he's certainly New York. Not getting employed by the OSI for security work.
Not for the most recent boy genius, no.
No, he was still a boy.
Emphasis on boy.
Emphasis on boy. So he's unemployed and homeless, I guess, now, because he's not living in Ventec Tower. In New York.
But he's still trying. He is trying.
He really is. He's still on it like a bonnet.
He's like, this is my job and I will do it.
So Doc takes a supersonic jet to Little Italy. This is his second transgression against the kingpin of New York. First was refusing the local protection. Second is blowing out his fucking windows.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Which, that the kingpin lives across the street in the Ventureverse equivalent of Trump Tower.
Which we also saw while we were in New York.
And gave the finger, rightly so. Saluted it. He lives in it's like Trump Tower. I'm trying to think of the fucking name. Toffit Tower. It's all in Columbus Circle.
It's there. It's the big buildings.
It's the big buildings. Also, enter Enzo. Enzo and his old cat. I love Enzo and his whole fucking deal. So here's the deal with Enzo. He is a discreet tailor who works with both
villains protagonists and protagonists.
And antagonists. Making bespoke outfits for them, including the ambassador and I think that was what the name of it was. Is that the name? That was the name of the one later on. This is the problem of us watching them all together. He makes bespoke.
So he's in charge outfits. Of dressing New York's finest.
All of I think most of the United States goes to him.
Probably. Lots of mail orders.
Lots of, or going in flying in person on a supersonic jet. to get what's the ambassador? It's a fucking speed suit.
Of course it is.
And there we go. He has his outfit for the rest of the series.
I told you,
people are the ambassador. People are figuring out their places and settling in. The episode starts to fall apart once we meet Wide Whale. Wide Whale is this kingpin who I
look at him. He's the king of New York.
Look at him. He's the king of New York. Yeah. He's the mob boss. He is the
Don. Honcho.
He is the dawn of villainy
and wretchedness
in New York City. If he joins the guild, everyone else will. So they need him. Which is why Dr. Mrs. is having a private meeting with them. Also, I just have to add in here. I don't know if I mentioned how much I love Manolo either yet.
No, you have not.
But I really love Manolo, and he really does become henchman Uno. He stays in the Monarch crew the rest of the series.
I love Manolo.
I love Manolo. You're probably for the quality. He does quality work, and he'll let you use his van instead of taking the pack train.
He's a good guy.
He's a big guy. So Hank borrows Brock's binoculars to look in to people's windows.
Oh, Hank.
Hank, stop. Stop. Meanwhile, all this is going on. Vatred is trying to enter his new role in the Ventured family dynamic. Overseeing security, even though he's not officially in the job yet, by grading the Monarch and 21 who are posing as security guards. From a distance.
Yeah. No, fail.
Yeah. They failed it.
Absolutely.
And Wide Whale is propositioning Dr. Mrs. And I know what it looks like.
It looks bad.
It's not that. And a lot of people are really confused by that.
No, it's
they
not,
really thought it was something else. It's not that.
It's not that.
It's
far more mundane.
Yeah. And enter Serena, Wild Whale's daughter, who Hank is now spying on with the binoculars and thinks is drowning.
Which I mean, valid. Fish. She's laying face down in a pool.
But she's part fish. And also
but he doesn't Hank know should, that.
And Hank shouldn't be looking in her window.
No, that's creepy. However, if you were in a situation where you were looking at, say, a bird with binoculars. You saw the bird. You happen to pan by a window with someone who looks like they're drowning in a pool. You would go back to that window and be like, are they okay?
Yeah. So like but he's cruising for boob.
No, yeah, he's cruising for titties.
There's
still a valid thing if you were cruising for titties and you saw someone who was dying or who you would presume was dying.
Yeah,
you would still take action. Which props to him. That was ballsy as all hell.
I know. He took the thus begins a wild battle of miscommunication.
The absolute disaster.
Also Monarch and 21 gets stuck in the elevator with Pirate, who is fully on the trank.
He wants it bad.
The line that 21 shouts kills me, and it's like one of my favorites.
Oh yes.
Oh my god, we're stuck in an elevator with the devil, like in that movie Devil. I had never heard of Devil, but that is literally the plot.
Yeah.
So I looked into it afterwards.
Oh god.
That is literally the plot of Devil, is you're stuck in the elevator with the devil.
Beautiful.
So spoilers, but that's literally the plot.
Hank goes flying off the building.
With the grappling gun.
With the grappling hook. However, Cal thinks that he's been thrown by Brock.
And also thinks that shots have been fired because the grappling gun
makes a loud noise
when you shoot it.
Yeah, so technically, yes, a shot has been fired, but it is not a bullet.
And Hank, in his attempt to save her notices she has gills.
Which is, he's like, oh, okay. And she, and she's acting coy. She's like, oh, you thought I was dying. Okay.
Now, yeah, now they're flirty.
Hey, they're cute, getting, boy.
They're getting flirty. He waves because he's stupid and loses.
I thought that it was adorable.
It is adorable. Thank God for Night Dick.
Yeah. Thank God more ways than one.
But the they're really outmatched with Brock. And Moriana's truth lasso is also revealing a lot about Brock and his feelings towards Moriana. So not his only tall wife.
He loves his tall wife.
I love my tall wife. So both Brock and Hank by the end of this episode have prospective love interests.
And Brock, honey, just let it happen.
Just let it happen.
If you want it to happen, just let it happen.
No.
Yes.
He wants it to happen, though. We'll get into that later. but the proposition that Wide Whale made was that he gets exclusive arching rights to Venture simply because Venture is fucking up his shit.
And is right there.
And is right across the street from him.
Also, the Monarch is not...
He's not a level 10. He's a level...
Maybe level, a 4.
Level... I think he's a level 6. I think that was the determination, but he could have been a level 4 if he was re-examined.
Yes.
So he really has no claim over a level 10 protagonist such as Dr. Venture, because his EMA has bumped way up from where it was when he had the compound.
Because no one gave a crap then.
But now everyone gives a crap. Everyone wants a piece of him.
Heck yeah.
And he, the fact that he's the one who breaks up the fucking nonsense happening on his porch. He's like, I'm just... Comes out, after taking a dick pic on accident with his smartwatch.
Oops.
They, by the way, their watch has got an upgrade. They now have smartwatches, like proper smartwatches. Which is good.
Yes. Because
their watches at the time, they looked nice in 2004. By the time that this was airing, they were looking dated. So,
I mean, now we got all those fancy Apple watches.
Yeah, as I look at mine right now. Or J watches, really.
Yes.
And tech watches. He disperses of Cal.
That's my bodyguard.
They're my bodyguards. It's not the only danger he's in is from them. So, welcome to New York. And Helper disposes of J-Bot, and we find out in the end credits
that
long live the king. When he pushes J-Bot off of the balcony, he lands on a homeless veteran. It is in the news article on the J-Pad that Doc's reading. And that homeless veteran is Vatrid.
Which is just sad.
Vatrid, he's not having a good time this season.
He's not.
He really takes a fucking beating. And also, after
Hank's trying out a new look.
Yeah, we got Hank's final look for the season. He listened to Brock, who said chicks don't dig Justin Bieber; they dig Steve McQueen. And he bought Steve McQueen's actual outfit from a movie. It's a legit outfit. Not only is it a legit outfit, it is a He tailors it to be just a jacket because it was a speed suit.
And he's like, so nope.
He takes movie memorabilia that he buys with a big check and tailors it into his final form, so to speak.
His personal jacket.
His personal jacket. The queen jacket. And spends so much money on that. He's not allowed to have the checkbook after this, don't worry.
No, I wouldn't.
He's not allowed to have a credit card or a checkbook. Unless it's his own money. Welcome to New York, everyone. We're in the final leg of this venture journey.
I'm terrified.
Next week, we'll be looking at, I know I say this a lot, but I really love this episode. The sex episode. I
love all the episodes.
I really do. I love all, like, there's very few episodes I don't like. But I really love this episode. Maybe No Go. We're going to get Pete and Billy into the mix here.
It is truly a mix.
It really is. It is a group of vagabonds at best.
Oh, yes.
So you have that to look forward to next episode. As always, you can interact with us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Guild Podcast. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/guildpodcast. For $3, you could maybe get some fancy stuff eventually. I'm working that out.
You're working that out. That's not my job.
that's not Garden's job. That's the Ryler job that I'm figuring out.
We're working on it though.
We're working on it. You're gonna get some special stuff. And also go check out Go Team Venture podcast. By the time this drops, I think they'll be on to the next episode. But you can go back and listen to my episode. You can also listen to the next episode. You can listen to all of them. They're great. Justin's great. We love Justin. End it like we know.
Normally I think we shall.
Go Team Venture. We love you guys.
Have a great night.